Today is week five of our series, Sacred Overlap. And I've asked one of our friends, who is no stranger to you all, Andrea Plummer, to share. And I believe Andrea has a gift to communicate God's word. And so over the past few weeks, we've been working on this message a bit together. And I'm really excited for you to hear this word today. And I'll let her kind of tease it out a bit more. But can you give it up for Andrea as she comes to the platform this morning?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. How are we doing? Good, 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 good. It's Sunday. It's the week after daylight savings. Are we all recovered? I feel like we lost an hour and like the sun's out longer and everyone forgets how to like be a normal human being. It's wild. All right. It's like Jordan said, my name is Andrea Plummer. If you are new or for those of you who don't know me, and I'm a servant leader here, and I get to serve in many different capacities, and one of those being able to have the opportunity every once in a while to stand up here and just share God's word and share from my heart. And so my prayer this morning for all of us is that we just can lean in and that we're able to take something from today and apply it into our week, apply it into our lives. So like Jordan said, we're in week five of our series, The Sacred Overlap. We're really just leaning in and how to learn how to live faithfully in the space between. So as we get started, I'm going to ask you all to stand with me this morning as we read our text that we're going to be focused in on this morning. And we stand because we want to honor the word of God, right? And so we're going to have it up here on the screen, but we're reading out of Mark 4. We're picking up in verse 37. This is a story that's familiar to many of us. And it says, "But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, 'Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?' When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Silence, be still.' Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?' The disciples were absolutely terrified. 'Who is this man?' they asked each other. 'Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Let's pray over our morning together. Heavenly Father, we come to you with an open heart, with open ears, with open hands, ready to receive from you, to hear from you, for your word to just be implanted into our hearts. God, we ask that you just fill this place and move in this place. We yield ourselves to you. Everything from this past week, we lay it down at your feet this morning, and we just want to open up ourselves to hear from you. God, I recognize that the things I'm going to say and the words that are going to come out of my mouth are not of my own power, not of my own will, but purely from what you've placed on the inside of me. And so I yield to you this morning. We're so thankful. We're so grateful. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. So I want to share with you just a little story about myself. I grew up in a single parent home. My mom raised myself and my two older siblings. And she did a fantastic job. I mean, I turned out pretty great. So she did really well. But she took great care of us. But I watched my whole life. I watched my mom struggle financially day in and day out. Like at one point in time when I was in high school, we were just in a one-bedroom apartment. I had to share a room with my mom. My brother had to sleep on the couch. I watched her have to pawn jewelry and her possessions just for money. I watched her having to sign up for food assistance so we'd have food to eat. I learned the routine. She would do like those payday cash advance loans. I learned her schedule at 13 years old. I knew the schedule of when we had to go and pay those loans off. But she did anything and everything that she could to make ends meet, to get to that next paycheck. But I was very aware at such a young age, the financial situation, the financial hardships that we were in. And then as I got older, after my mom passed away, I unfortunately took on a lot of those same problems and those same habits and those same tendencies, falling into the same space of being just financially stretched and strapped. Like I was, for years, I was broke beyond belief. I went through a season where I had to choose between paying my electric bill or if I was gonna pay my car payment. I would go to the grocery store and I would have to like add up my groceries before I get to the front to make sure I would have enough money. You're looking at someone who has had their car repossessed not once, but twice. Like I'm being fully transparent with you all of the seasons that I've walked through. One of those times I literally was sitting at the front desk of the job I worked at the church we used to attend that I was on staff at. And I watched my car go by on the bed of a tow truck while I'm at work, driving off of the property. Like, talk about the embarrassment beyond belief in that moment. Like, I would literally cry myself to sleep at night, sometimes in the dark because I didn't have electricity. Like, so frustrated, like literally, so frustrated with God. And it wasn't until the last 4 to 5 years that my financial situation has started to turn around. And I begin to be able to breathe a little bit easier in my finances. And I've been able to start to live a little bit more comfortably and with a little bit more ease in this season. Now, I'm not telling you this story for you like to be like, oh, poor Andrea, woe is, like, I'm not looking for sympathy or anything like that. I'm telling you this because I'm sharing how for literal years and years and years, I did not understand how to navigate my faith the right way in those tough, hard seasons of pain. And even now, I am just barely beginning to learn, and I'm barely beginning to scratch the surface of how to navigate my faith in this season where I'm having a little bit more ease. And I'm still learning how to do it and what this looks like to live in a season of ease. So I share that story today because I want us to share a conversation today about seasons of pain and seasons of ease. And how do we navigate our faith to be able to live faithfully? And we have this image up here on the screen, and we've seen this every week. How do we begin to navigate to live faithfully in the middle, faithfully following Jesus with joy in seasons of pain and seasons of ease? Because the reality is, we're going to experience both. We're not exempt from going through seasons of pain. And I'm sure it's safe to say that we all hope that we can have points in our life and seasons in our life where we're feeling good and we're going through a season of ease. Jesus himself said it in John 16:33. He said, "Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." He's made it clear, black and white, plain and simple, you will have many trials and sorrows. We're not exempt from those seasons. He also said in John 14, he said, "I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you is peace." He's leaving us well and whole. So he's also promised us that we're gonna have seasons and areas of our life that we're gonna be in peace. But what I want us to think about today is how am I living in my seasons of pain and how am I living in my seasons of ease? How am I honoring God in these seasons? How am I bringing him glory in these seasons? Is my life a living example of my faith in following Jesus when I am in these moments? So for a moment, I want us to try to understand these two ideas of pain and ease and the tension of living by faith in both of these seasons. So we're gonna look at Mark 4 today. You guys are gonna have this passage of scripture memorized by the time we're done, I promise you. Mark 4, we're looking at verses 37 through 40 this time. But again, it says, "But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, 'Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?' When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Silence, be still.' Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?'" Where is our faith in these moments of pain and ease? Jesus asked them, I was thinking about this weekend as I was preparing, Jesus asked if they still had no faith. Still, like if I was faced with that question, looking at Jesus and he said, I'd be like, I would feel so guilty. I'd be like, you're right. You have taught me better than that. I should have known. Still, do you still have no faith? This tells me that since they began following Jesus, they still did not fully understand how to do it faithfully. They were still struggling with that concept. they were still struggling trying to find the right kind of faith. Hebrews 11 says that without faith, that it's impossible to please God, right? So we must have our faith in check and dialed in completely so that we can be pleasing to God. So he's not questioning, do you still have no faith? So here are these guys, here are these disciples, right, in a space that they don't know what to do, a moment that is completely out of their control, or so they think it's out of their control. Because had their faith been tapped into the right way, they would have known in this moment how to react. But rather, they are just losing their minds. They're freaking out. Jesus, don't you care? Jesus, what is going on? Why is this happening? Why us? Why right now? So what do? They wake him up. They wake Jesus up because they want something immediate from him. Their faith in this moment, it's what I'm calling a delivering kind of faith. It's a right now kind of faith. Their faith is solely based on what they want and what they think they need right now in this moment. So let's put ourselves in this same context, right? In our day-to-day lives today. How often, when we are in a season of pain, do we focus only on what we want and what we need right now, where we want the answer right now and the deliverance right now? Let me make this real for you, something that's more relatable. Maybe you're at work and you're working a job that you don't love and you have a boss that's pretty terrible and you're surrounded by toxic coworkers that make the environment just unbearable and your faith is saying, God, don't you care? I can't do this. Get me out. Deliver me right now. Or maybe it's your marriage. You fight every night. You talk about your spouse behind their back. You feel stuck, you feel suffocated, and your faith is saying, God, this wasn't supposed to be like this. Don't you want better for me? I want out right now. Or maybe you're single, I get it, and you feel lonely, and you just had the worst first date again, and you don't want to swipe on another dating app again. You question if you're good enough. So your faith says, God, don't you care? This isn't fair. This isn't the life I thought I was going to have. Fix me. Fix the situation right now. Or maybe you have a loved one who's sick with this scary diagnosis. God, don't you care? Why is this happening? Why them? This isn't fair. Heal them right now. We have a tendency in seasons of pain to fall victim to right now and expecting to be delivered right in that moment. The problem with that is we are only activating and tapping into our faith for the immediate. But the reality is that seasons of pain, whether it's physical, spiritual, emotional, relational, whatever that season of pain is that you're going through, financial, can 100% cloud our perspective and make it more challenging to see and to trust in God's promises for the long term. And it causes us to, in a way, forget that we have already been blessed with knowing all that he has promised us already. Like, do you realize the disciples were only looking up and out at their problem? They're looking out at the wind. They're looking out at the storm, out at the waves. They only let them see the pain that consumed their vision. It consumed everything they already knew to be true. They've been following Jesus all this time. They already know what he's capable of. They already know his promises. But what they saw here clouded their vision and clouded their judgment. They were looking out rather than looking down and inward at the literal promise in the boat with them. Jesus is right there this whole time. But because they were so outward focused, looking at the problem, it caused them to have a deliver me right now mindset. Jesus, don't you care? Jesus, don't you care? When we are experiencing pain, it's natural for our focus to be consumed by the immediate discomfort and distress that's happening all around us. It's normal for that to be our reaction, which makes it so easy to fall into that delivering faith kind of mindset. And it makes it more difficult to hold on to our faith and trust in God's goodness and promises. Now, hear me when I say this. I'm not standing up here. I was about to say sitting up here, I'm standing. I'm not standing up here saying that God is not faithful to deliver us when we are in seasons of pain. That's not what I'm saying, because he will. We see it here in this scripture. Jesus woke up and he calmed the storm. He delivered them. He did what he needed to do in this moment, but he was frustrated by their type of faith or the lack thereof in that moment. So what I'm saying and what I'm asking us this morning is, what kind of faith do you have in seasons of pain? Is it a deliver me right now, God, type of faith? Or is it a faith that is focused on Jesus, who's right there in the boat and doing what he's doing? And what is he doing in this moment? He's resting. He has a restful faith. Because think about it, had they kept their focus locked in solely on Jesus, they could have gone through that storm, making it to the other side without even batting an eye. The storm would not have fazed them the way it was not fazing Jesus when he was in that boat. It would not have been a fun ride for them. They would have been knocked around. They would have felt the jostling. When we're going through seasons of pain, we're still gonna feel it, but it's how we're responding when we're in it. It wasn't gonna be an enjoyable boat ride for them, but they would have known how to navigate the storm. Had they stayed focused on who was in the boat with them, they would have had a restful faith, or what we're calling an enduring faith, a long-lasting restful faith, a faith that would have sustained them through the storm to the other side. Let's look at the scripture again, Mark 4, verses 37 and 38 this time. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up. Like I said, Jesus was physically right there in the boat, right? They could touch him. They could see him. They could hear him snoring. There was no doubting that Jesus was there in the boat with them. An enduring faith is a faith that is centered around knowing that Jesus is right there in the midst with us. And that is the type of faith that leads and guides us in seasons of ease. Hebrews 10:36, it says, patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Patient endurance, so you will continue to do God's will. What we need to see and understand and know that is in the midst of chaos, in the midst of storms, in the midst of pain, Jesus rested. He knew the storm was going to happen. He knew the storm was happening. It was not going to catch him off guard. But he is modeling for his disciples in this moment what it looks like to endure, what it looks like to sustain, what it looks like to trust. That's what he's showing them in this morning by simply demonstrating just rest. Rest in this moment. But in the same way that we must caution ourselves and learn to navigate and respond in seasons of pain, we also have to caution ourselves to learn how to navigate in seasons of ease. Because in seasons of ease, here's the thing with it. When things tend to be going all right and they're good and I'm feeling fine and I can breathe easy, when life is easy right now, we are kind of coasting on through, that's when we can so easily slip into a mindset and a routine of zero effort, that I'm good, I don't need God right now, I'm fine. So what I mean by that is, in seasons of pain, we tend to respond with, woe is me, why me, where are you, God? Jesus, don't you care? Fix it right now, help me now. And sure, at least we're still tapping into some storm of faith, right? But it might not be for the right reasons or with the right intent. But in seasons of ease, we can so easily, and most times without even realizing it, fall into a response of, I don't think I need God right now. Things are good. I'm fine. My bank account, it's good. My family member, they're healed. My marriage, we're doing okay. We're just coasting. We're in a routine. We're in our rhythm. The boat's not rocking right now, so I know what I'm doing. I got this. And as a result, our faith can plateau. It can become stagnant, And we can lose sight of where Jesus still must fit in the picture. We still must make sure he is in the boat with us. And we must make sure that we keep our eyes fixed on him. Think about this. The problem as a believer in seasons of ease is that we no longer show that we need God. So that's what we have to caution ourselves to. When we're in a season where we're feeling good, we still need God because it's not happening of our own strength. I was thinking about this as I was preparing last night, and this thought, Holy Spirit put this thought on my mind. We cannot allow an enduring faith to cause us to become too familiar with Jesus being in the boat with us, that we allow ourselves to lose the awe of Jesus being in the boat with us. I'm gonna say that again. We cannot allow an enduring type of a faith to cause us to become way too familiar with Jesus being in the boat with us, that we allow ourselves to lose the awe of Jesus being in the boat with us. Because if we allow ourselves to lose awe in this season of ease, we allow ourselves to lose the awe of Jesus in the boat with us in these moments when things are good and things are healthy and things are fine, then we can grow complacent. When life is going smooth, there may be less urgency to seek God or grow spiritually. We can become self-sufficient, relying more on our own abilities, I, our own resources rather than on God, leading us to grow less dependent on him. We can lose our empathy, becoming more and more inward focused, our hearts becoming less and less broken for the lost, losing our compassion for those in need, thinking when we aren't lacking, because you're saying when we aren't lacking, we can so easily forget that others still are lacking. Because when we're in ease, the effort to tap into our faith can be diminished. Our need to rely on God has lessened. So we have to caution ourselves to that. So knowing these tensions, knowing this between pain and ease, between these two seasons of life, let me ask you, how do you follow Jesus faithfully when you are in ease? How do you follow Jesus faithfully when you are in pain? How do you find the middle and live faithfully in these seasons? How do we gracefully and with joy find the middle between a delivering faith and an enduring faith? How do we continue to remember that God is still present in our pain while remaining vigilant and intentional against complacency and self-sufficiency and growing too familiar in this place of ease? So how do we faithfully follow Jesus in both pain and ease? Well, in seasons of pain, we acknowledge God's purpose. God is sovereign and in complete control, so we surrender our control and rely on his wisdom, even when things may seem too difficult to understand. Acknowledging his purpose means having faith that despite the difficulties you are experiencing, that you know that God has a plan and a reason for what you're going through, and it is not for nothing. To faithfully follow Jesus in pain, it's acknowledging God's plan for you. Even if it's not a right now plan, it means you trust that things will happen at the exact moment that God has already laid out ahead of you according to his promises. And you acknowledging his plans for your life is a profound expression of your faith. To faithfully follow Jesus in pain, it's acknowledging God's perspective. That means believing that his understanding surpasses your own, and that he sees the bigger picture even when you cannot. It's Isaiah 55. It's acknowledging that God's ways are higher than your own ways and his thoughts are higher than your own thoughts. To faithfully follow Jesus in a season of pain, it's acknowledging God's presence. And that involves believing that he is intimately involved in every aspect of your life, especially during times of pain and suffering. It's recognizing that his spirit dwells within you, providing comfort and strength and guidance, even in the midst of pain. It's acknowledging that he walks beside you so that you can lean on his promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Faithfully following Jesus in a season of pain is looking at acknowledging his purpose, his plan, his perspective and his presence. So then how do we faithfully follow Jesus when we're going through seasons of ease, when things feel good, when things are easy, when we can breathe, we can coast a little bit? How do we continue to still faithfully follow, acknowledge him and follow him even in those moments? Well, again, we acknowledge God's purpose. It's the same thing. That even in times of comfort and abundance, God still has a purpose for your life. It means remaining humble. It means remaining grateful, understanding that all blessings come from him. It's using the resources and opportunities that God has given you to serve others. To faithfully follow Jesus in a season of ease, it's acknowledging God's plan. It means being open to his leading in every aspect of your life. Regardless if things are going well, you are still choosing to live in alignment with his will, remaining faithful to him and being willing to follow wherever he leads. Faithfully following Jesus in ease is acknowledging God's perspective. It involves remaining humble and grateful. It means trusting that he has never and will never stop preparing you for whatever may come next in your journey of faith. Faithfully following Jesus in ease is acknowledging God's presence, recognizing his continual involvement in your life. Even when things are going well and you have no complaints, and that's because his presence is with you always, and nothing of what is happening for you in that season is of your own doing. It means cultivating a deeper relationship with God through prayer, through worship, through reading reading God's word. All of that allows his presence to shape your thoughts, your actions, and your decisions. That's how we find the middle. That's how we faithfully follow Jesus with joy. I shared a few moments ago at the beginning of this teaching how for years and years I was in this season of pain with my finances. And I felt like I was just getting rocked every single day. And all I could ever tap into in that season was a deliver me right now type of faith. That's all I knew. It was help me now, Jesus. Fix this now. Why me? This isn't fair. Help me now. Don't you care? And for years, I looked at the storm all around me and I let that consume my vision. And I did not focus on Jesus being right there with me in order to learn how to have an enduring faith. I was so far into the season of pain, I didn't even know how to tap into anything different. I didn't even know that there was anything different to tap into, a season of ease. All I knew, all that was ever modeled for me watching my mom as I grew up, was financial stress and financial struggle. And that's what I saw, and then that's what I was living my life. I didn't know there was anything different. I'm 35 years old now. And my entire life, up until the last 4 to 5 years, I only knew being in a season of pain when it came to my finances. I only knew deliver me right now faith. And I'm just now starting to really learn and understand what it means to live in both a season of pain, both a season of ease. Just 2 days ago, I was out to lunch with a friend of mine who's known me since I was 18 years old. And he's known all the financial struggles. He's known all the life, all the things I've walked through. And he was just checking in. He was in town for work. And so he's checked in and he said, you know, how are things going financially for you? How are you doing? And I was able to look at him and I said, I am right now finally living at ease in the midst of my financial prayers. All the things I finally understood and started learning how to pray, I'm finally living at ease and in this season of ease within that. But I have to understand, and what I realize in this moment is I cannot rush this season of ease. Even though I'm nowhere close to like financial freedom, because student debt's real, you guys. But I am also learning that I cannot live closed-handed with what God is actively blessing me with right now. So though I'm in this season of ease, I can breathe a little bit easier and I can look around and I know how to navigate it. I'm not in this season because of anything I've done of my own will and of my own power. it's not because of me. It's purely because I'm still keeping God at the center. I'm still looking at Jesus right here next to me. And it's because of what's happening, because of the miracle that's in the boat with me. And so I have to acknowledge and realize that I still have to live open-handedly with what is being given to me, what I'm being blessed with in this season. Because I'm only in this space because of God's faithfulness. So as we wrap, I want to look at Mark 4 one last time again. Mark 4, verses 37 through 41, it says, "But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, 'Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?' When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Silence, be still.' Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?' The disciples were absolutely terrified. 'Who is this man,' they asked each other, 'that even the wind and waves obey him?'" I want to challenge us with a thought this morning. What if in this moment, rather than the disciples asking, "Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him?" they instead asked, "Who is this man that even the wind and the waves do not wake him?" Here is Jesus in this moment, asleep on a boat, pillow, blanket, cushion, snoring, drool. He is sleeping, he is resting. And he's modeling for the disciples, and he's modeling for us. He's showing us he can rest because he knows his Father's purpose for him. He can rest because he knows his Father's plan for him. He can rest because he knows his Father's perspective. He can rest because he knows his Father's presence is with him. What if we could learn how to rest like Jesus and how to rest in Jesus? The same way he is resting in his Father in this moment as well. What if we could learn to rest like Jesus in pain and rest in him in seasons of ease, so that we can learn to steward those seasons the right way? What if the storms didn't rattle or scare us anymore? What happens to our vision and to our faith when we know how to tap into faithfully following Jesus? So I want to leave us with this scripture, Hebrews 12:2. It says, "And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith." We're running with endurance, but we're keeping our eyes on Jesus the entire time because he is the one who perfects our faith. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for who you are. We're so thankful for the words that were spoken in a short time this morning. God, my prayer over this church, over every person in this room and every person watching online, is that they were able to hear something and that they're able to take it with them, that it fell in their hearts, it challenged them, it changed them, it convicted them. God, we want our faith to be tapped into who you are. We want to learn how to faithfully follow Jesus in seasons of pain and seasons of ease, because without him, we are nothing. We can't do it on our own. We recognize that life is going to get hard. We recognize that life is going to be easy sometimes. And through it all, may we continue to keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus. May we continue to acknowledge your sovereignty. May we continue to acknowledge your control. May we continue to acknowledge that you are who we need to model everything after. We're so thankful. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Continue with the heads bowed for just a moment. Take the next 30 seconds, as is the custom, the tradition of how we conclude our services. And consider asking the Holy Spirit yourself rather than just even relying in this moment on whatever words may have been spoken from the platform, but using this as a moment where the Spirit of God can make up the distance between anything that has been prepared to be said this morning and the distance to what the Spirit just wants to say to you today. And so invite the Holy Spirit right now. Like say underneath your breath as an invitation to Him. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do with what I just heard this morning? And then take the next few moments and just listen to that still small voice on the inside, that image that comes to your attention, that thought that is brought to the surface of your mind. And as it lines up with God's words, it lines up with the Spirit of Jesus. Consider that the Spirit of God speaking to you. Holy Spirit, we sit, we wait, we welcome your voice in this moment. What do you want us to do with what we just heard today? How do you want us to respond?